Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
We're going to hear from our lead pastors this morning in terms of what they can see for the next 12 months, which direction this church is going, where God and the Holy Spirit are taking us as a corporate church. So I really encourage you, cast your eyes to the screen. We're going to see a bit of a video, and then we're going to hear from our amazing pastors as they share with us what 2024 is going to look like in the City Coast Bundaberg.
The pursuit of purpose in life has driven mankind onward since we were crafted from the clay. Why are we here is a question that's echoed in the hearts of men and women since God breathed breath into our lungs. Our original intent was that we would be worshippers, that we would find ourselves in a relationship with the Creator, that everything we were, everything we had would be devoted to loving Him. As Jesus says in Matthew 22:37, that this is the greatest of all commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. But then he asks that we'd adhere to one other command, and that is to love others, that we would take the love of the Father and demonstrate it out there, that we'd take the love of the Father into the city. Now, 2023 saw City Coast Church resound with passionate and heartfelt praise. We saw hearts in the house surrendered humbly in reverence as they declared their love for God. And it became very clear that City Coast Church is a place where people can come and have a God encounter. They can experience His presence and start a relationship with Jesus Christ. But this year, this great hope that we've found, it's too good to keep to ourselves. So we're setting our sights on the city. We are taking this hope that we've found to the people of Bundaberg.
2023 saw us in a stage and a season of rebuilding. And what we felt when we arrived in Bundaberg in 2022 at the end of that year was we'd come to a church that was alive and excited and passionate about the future. And so in 2023, we found that we were able to build a beautiful foundation with willing hearts and hands of the church. And that's exactly what we did. We would lay foundations of new departments. We were able to financially advance some of our kingdom, building structure and capital expenses. We saw so much move forward in the year of 2023, and we couldn't be more proud and more grateful to God for all we've seen happen last year. But this year, we now get to stand on the foundations that have been laid. And God has given this house big dreams and big goals. And it's our job as a church to listen in to what God wants to do and just keep up with His plan. And so as we look forward this year, we are excited to expand on our missions and outreach part of the church. You know, we are really believing that with the foundations we have built, we can be ready to go. And it was going to look like doing special events and projects throughout the year, building extra teams that get out into the streets and attend Bundaberg events. And we are in vision that God has set before us in the way of missions. We also are so excited about seeing our departments evolve and more ministries rise up to the calling. And it takes not just one person, but it takes many people with many hands to see the vision of God come forward. And so this year, we just ask you to consider being on board and being part of what God plans for our church and for Bundaberg, because together we can do more and we're not done yet. I feel like we're just getting started. And so as we look forward to 2024, I know that by the end of this year, we're going to look back rejoicing for what we've been able to build together as a church family.
Good morning. Do I sound like that, really? Oh my goodness. Thanks, Rob. Good morning, church. So good to see you all. Fabulous. Big thank you to Justin Kennedy, who's put these videos together and is just sensational in all of his areas. Pastor Adam editing late into the night. Well, Vision Sunday, Huey, thank you for being here today. It is a significant time where we just set aside a day at the start of the year to make the vision plain and clear. That's what the scripture says. It says write it down, make it plain and clear so that people can run with it. That's what the word says. And so that's what we want to do this morning. I'm going to speak for a little bit, then Adam's going to speak for a bit, and then we're going to have gelato. Is that all right? Awesome. So sit tight with me. You know, we're excited. Obviously, we're launching the cafe and things were still happening yesterday just to make it beautiful for today. But we stand here in awe of what God has done. That's all we do. We stand here in awe of what God has done, the things that He has given us in our hearts as your lead pastors, but also has given to you. I know many of you have come forward with dreams in your heart. And we stand today, not just on 2023, but 45 years of City Coast Church, yeah? And we are not oblivious to the layers and layers of layers that have been set before us. And so we celebrate the whole heritage of this house. But in this short little moment today, I want to do two things with you. And I want to lay it out really quickly, and it starts like this, is I want to say what you can expect from us, Adam and I, as your senior pastors. Is that okay? I want to go through a couple of things, what you can expect from us to lead this house. And you know, as a family, you need to work out the dynamics in a relationship. Where does your siblings, the boundaries end, how we communicate with each other as family and as parents. And we believe that that works within a church family setting too. It's great for us to know where we stand, what we believe in, and have those boundaries and those dynamics set out. And how we do that is we talk about expectations. And so some things that we feel like you can expect from us this year as your senior pastors is the first one is to lead and to feed you. And this means that Jesus is our great example of being the most incredible leader, right? And He learned the art of leading and feeding. He was the guy who could turn the small things into the big. He worked out how to make a little fish into a smorgasbord of fish. He could throw a good supper. He knew how to do in the natural to feed, but He also knew in the spiritual how to feed. And even on a physical level, putting food out and gathering those people together like we are today with food and the cafe is about just bringing you together. And so we are going to feed you in the spirit, but also physically. But more importantly for us is to be able to lead you. And that looks like being your shepherds. You know, the Bible talks about pastoring in the Bible as shepherds. And shepherds lead you to still waters to rest. Shepherds show you where to go. Shepherds defend you. You know, you can expect from us is that we're going to have your back, that we are going to be on guard for your life in the spirit and physical as best of our ability. And you, today I am going to say many times to the best of our ability, because Pastor Adam and I are not perfect leaders. We are going to make mistakes and we are going to be trying to do our best. It will be to the best of our ability. But as your shepherds, we want to be able to lead you beautifully, lead you well. You know, we didn't leave Brisbane and all our friends and sell our house just to come and play games. We came to be here because we knew that there was something happening in Bundaberg that we wanted to be part of. And you know what's happening in Bundaberg? People. You. You are the heart of this city. You are the heart of this town. You are you. And so we are here to be part of your lives and part of your stories. And we want to be great shepherds to you. Number two that we want that you to be able to expect from us is preaching and teaching. Adam and I are going to do our best to bring you the studied word of God each week. We don't ever want to just get up here and wing it. We work on our messages diligently. We study and we read a lot. We often run our messages through our Australian friends and pastors. We'll ring and debate a little something, something in the scripture. We'll ring the head of the Bible College of INC. We will chat things out. We'll talk to other pastors. We want to bring you to the best of our ability, the studied word of God. You have our commitment for that. We never want to bring you less than what the word of God demands. We won't get it perfect every time. Adam cannot be constantly funny. He is very good, but he cannot be. We will do our best to bring you the pure word of God. We will teach and we will pray. When we get up here, we are prayed up. We have diligently spent time in the word of God, listening into what He wants you to say. So often when you're not here, I don't know what you're doing because He had a word for you. Is that Can I say it that way? He's given us a word that week to tell you, and if you're not here, you're missing it. No, you can get on YouTube. Just be here. And also, not everyone loves a woman preacher, but I'm not going anywhere, okay? Sorry, not sorry. The word of the Lord. Thank you. That's nice. I believe that the word that the Lord speaks to me too. And when he gives me a message in my spirit, in my heart to bring, I don't think he just wants me to keep it. So as a woman, I'm going to preach it. Is that all right? So you'll find me up here as well, along with our other beautiful pastoral, our preaching team, who also we have expectations that they are diligently studying the word of God. And so you have our commitment on preaching and teaching. Is this good stuff? You can also expect from us integrity and accountability. Leaders don't really have secrets. We need to be above reproach and we need to be transparent. You have our commitment on that. We do not have skeletons in the closet. And let me tell you, we have people that we are accountable to. Every 6 weeks, Adam and I sit with our committee of management, which is a team of people in this church. And we have one other, Pastor Gary Hurigan in Brisbane, who is still on our committee of management. We sit before them every 6 weeks and we talk about the dreams and plans that the Lord has put on our heart, different ideas, different upgrades, big ideas, little ideas. And we're held accountable in that space about those ideas, the timing of it, the expenditures, the moving of that. We sit before that team and we discuss things. Adam and I want you to know that we don't spend over $500 without two other signatures, okay? So everything that we use from the tithes of this house, we want to be transparent on that. If it's over $500, we have two committee of management sign off on that. That's because we want accountability to the finances and the stewards of the house. Is that something cool for you to know? We have an employed off-site bookkeeper who does all of our accounts and is held accountable. We hold an AGM meeting in the middle of the year where you can hear as a church family our financial structure and you can see the movement, all of our figures, the coming and the going. We also have an oversight in Brisbane called the National Executive who oversee and govern Adam and I as the senior pastors in this church. We report to our chairman regularly. I'm seeing him this week. We also have pastors across the globe who coach us, who mentor us, who speak into our life. Two of those being John and Gillian Cameron, who are amazing pastors. He was here recently, who are our coaches. We also are accountable to our children. Our three children see us behind closed doors. So they know everything. And you know why they're the best accountability? Because we still want them to love Jesus. We still want them to love us and we still want them to love the church. And so we need to be on our good behavior to make sure all those three things are inspiring to our children. And they have big mouths, Adam said, so we can't get away with anything. That's nasty, not you, Charlie's. Lastly, we have an open door, so with our integrity and accountability, you are so welcome to come and see us, book meetings with us, ask questions. We think that secrecy is where sin can breed, and so let's put it out in the open. Let's light it up, right? We're not here for that. We're here to reach a city with clean hands and clean hearts, and so you can trust us as your leaders this year moving forward. Thank you. I now want to talk about what we could expect from you as the church family. Is that fair? Okay. Can you repeat these words after me? I am committed. Oh, you're in. That is the first thing that you just promised me. You are committed. There is no point going to the gym once a week if you want a transformed body. There is no point coming to church every now and again, if you want transformation. We want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with this. Would you give the Lord this year, 1 year of committing your first day of the week, your first of your finances, the first when you need something, you go to prayer, your first? Would you give God solidly 1 year, and I promise you next Vision Sunday, the transformation that you want in different areas of your life, you will see fruit from. If you choose to pray every day, you will see a shift. Like Jono said, if you try God in things in this, he will not let you down. In 1 year, living a committed and dedicated life in God, you will see transformation. And you know why I know that so sure? Because you're going to be giving God access to your life. You're going to be opening yourself up to say, hey, whatever you choose, 1 year, you've got me. Can I ask you that this year, to be committed? Find yourself in the house of God. Find yourself in prayer. Find yourself growing in the things of God. Number two, I am a disciple. That's the second one. It means to follow Jesus. It means to be changed by Jesus. It means to be on mission for Jesus. What does it look like? I love this message version of Hebrews 6. It's really sassy. This is what it says. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning to trust toward God. Welcome to being a disciple. It is not an easy road necessarily. It is going to cost you something. You know, coming to church randomly or very uncommittedly, opening your word rarely or not even, it's not going to bring about the transformation that you are desiring in your life or the changes you want in your life. We need to be, as disciples, as Christians, students of Jesus. Students. So what does that mean? We have to study him. We need to learn about him. We need to know how he does things, why he does things. We want to be like him. We are called to be walking in the image of Christ. And so not only do we want to learn as disciples, we need to apply as disciples what it means and what we need to make those changes. And so being a disciple means knowing how to feed yourself and grow in maturity. Can I expect that of you this year? Eating one meal a week, I think it would take you to a place of being malnourished, right? You would be starving. So when we come to church on Sunday and this is the only meal you eat, then you ask me why I'm struggling or where is the authority in my life. I'm asking you this year to feed yourself all week long. Not just one day a week, that you become students of Christ, understanding the scripture, opening the word and leaning in. Adam and I are sharing time. I've got 2 minutes, okay? So do you. All right, so I'm asking you to make a priority to grow this year. And these look like four quick things. I won't break it down too much. It's this. Number one is reading the word of God. No matter how big or small you have time to do, if you're talking a couple of verses, you're talking chapter, you're talking an hour long, whatever you can do. Let me say it like this. Do you remember what you ate last week? Not necessarily, but you're still alive. Okay, so just take something from the word of God and feed yourself. Number two is pray. Give God a ear. Pray, pray, pray. Before you call your boss, before you call your mum, before you call anybody, pray. Number three is connect with others. Get yourself into smaller ministries. Gather, connect groups, women's ministry, men's ministry, all those separate things. Connect with other faith-filled believers and learn and grow. Last one is serve. That's what I want to ask you, is how, can I ask you a question? What do you do with your time? Because often I'll come up to you, hey, doing, what are you doing? Who are you involved in? Hey, are you serving? And often a lot of your answers are just so flat out. Oh my gosh, I've got so much on. I really love to, but blah, 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 blah. And that is okay. I understand. And we've all been in seasons like that. But I do want to ask you, if you have time to go to the gym and do Netflix, you've got time, all right? So you're already assigning time. All right, you're already assigning time. What you value, you will build. What you value, you will build. So I'll ask you a hard question. What does the church mean to you? What has it done for you? And is it a value in your life? Jesus came to serve and not be served. And that is the example of leadership and who we want to be. And so I ask you this year, with everything that we are dreaming, everything that God has put on our hearts, that you would consider putting up your hand. You can say, I just once every 8 weeks, I'll take it. Whatever you can do, I'd ask you to expect you, if you're going to come and feast at this table, that you would bring a plate, that you would clean the plate, that you would serve your brother and your sister. Is that all right? And so to do that and to wrap up, we've got three tables at the back today. When you go out for your free gelato, you're going to have to detour past three cute faces. And at that table are people who would love to hear from you on how you can serve this year. I want to show you a list of our departments. So these are our demographics, kids, youth, young adults, families, seniors. And these are our age demographics at the moment who have incredible leadership. And these areas underneath them obviously have heaps of areas. But I do, before I break down ministries, I want you to hear from our demographic leaders. Can we look to the screen?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jono. This is my wife, Lizzie, and we're the Families Directors.
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I'm the Kids Director.
Hi, I'm Jacob, and this is Shauna, and we're the City Goes High Youth Directors.
Hi, I'm Ken. I'm the Seniors Director.
Hi, my name's Liam, and this is my wife, Alyssa, and we're the Young Adults Directors.
Well, it's the middle of the week and a lot of the folk that come are happy to have fellowship right in the middle of the week.
Friday nights is the time where we create a space for these young people to just come and have fun and encounter God.
We're just really passionate about equipping you to make sure that we can have healthy families.
We play some games, we spend some time learning a story from the Bible.
In 2023, we saw an amazing growth of our incredible young adult community, which was awesome, getting involved in connect groups.
Mainly fellowship one with another and strengthening one another, uplifting one another, praying for one another.
This year we're really excited to see the young people grow in their faith and really take that step in their schools to see connect groups started and to see the love that God has shown them and be able to show that into the life of their friends.
We're putting into them every single week something from God for them specifically, so it's a really exciting ministry to be a part of.
In 2024 we're excited to see our young adults activated in our, not only our community, but also within our church.
We're kickstarting the year with our connect groups again. Very excited to have our mum and dad's time.
I just visualise that they're going to be growing at a greater depth in the things of God, really.
Oh, it's super rewarding. The kids are awesome. If you came out for one Sunday, you definitely wouldn't want to leave because you'll just love them so much.
On Wednesday, we can go deeper into the Word of God and to build a strong foundation in our lives.
We're so excited for what God has for the families of City Coast in 2024, and we're just believing for Him to help equip you from the top down in our families.
Here we go, young adults. Buckle up, strap in. We're launching 2024.
So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to be a part of a great ministry like this, please come speak to us, and we'd love to see where you could fit in.
Do I wave or do you see me?
Aren't they fabulous? Can we give it up for our demographic leaders? You are so fabulous. So see any of those people after the service if you want to ask anything, but head to the service. Hey, just quickly, one more slide. These are just our City Coast Pantry, which is next door. We would love you to consider this being one of your ministries that you serve in this year. Quickly jump to Red Frogs. Who's heard of Red Frogs? Okay, it's happening this year. Adam and I are the Bundaberg coordinators, so we've been instated as those leaders. We have our trailer ready to go. We're looking for people to hit the streets. Come and see us. Let us know if you want to do Red Frogs this year. Playgroup, we will be launching in the name of Jesus. I said it last year. This year, it's happening. We're going to have some fun with our new cafe. We have started a nursing home ministry that my mother is leading. Today, we are having a service in the nursing home as we are on day one. And so if you'd like to be involved with that, we'd just love you to apply and let us know. There's some things that come with that, but we believe in people that have of older age that still need Jesus, and they need people and they need connection, and so we want to sit with them and we want to be with them. Midweek cafe, we need baristas, we want people who are volunteers, we want to open it to the world, and hampers that you're also amazing at. Adam, come up, you've got 9 minutes. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry if I talk
That's
so
all good.
Quickly, thank you.
All right, no time for stairs. Go, jump. No, it's all good. How exciting. What a massive morning. Look, I really am not going to keep you real long because we're going to get the gelato and sausage chisels and everything happening. But let's not be under any delusion that God is calling us to build something, right? He's calling us to assemble something that's going to go out into the harvest field. He's looking to see His kingdom here on earth advance and overthrow the strongholds of this world. So we've got a responsibility to build something. I know when I was a kid, in our backyard, we had these enormous big pine trees along the back fence. And once you pass through the green outer boughs of that tree, there was this amazing cavern inside, which was deliciously out of sight of parental supervision. So within that cavern, within those trees, we decided to build a fort. Did anyone ever build a fort when they were young? When you build a fort, there are some must-haves that you have to have in place. And today I want to talk about a few must-haves that Pastor Joey and I are looking to implement here at City Coast Church. But when you're building a fort, the first and foremost thing you got to put up is a no girls allowed sign. Because if you're trying to build a fort and the girls are there, before you know it, you're going to have a cashmere throw rug on the dirt floor and she's going to be lighting scented candles right near your cap gun ammunition, which is going to end in disaster. Which leads you to the second point. You need an ammunition cachet. You need caps for your cap gun. You need potatoes for your spud gun. And you need big chunky pine nuts for your slingshots. You need your ammunition. We also had we had an escape tunnel. This tunnel was basically an enormous hole that we dug under our back fence and into our neighbor's yard. I'm sure he was very impressed when 3 7-year-old boys popped up in the middle of his lawn. But we had our escape tunnel. You need some sort of weatherproofing, a roof. So that could be a tarp or a for sale sign. You can just find them sitting on the footpath when you walk up and down the street. Or if you're a real top notch, you'd have corrugated iron, because nothing says fort like the possibility of being bitten by redbacks or contracting tetanus. So you want to have a corrugated roof. And one of the most important things in a boy's fort is you need a pea tree. You need a designated place of urination, because that is something you don't want to get out of control. You want to make sure that there is some sort of order when it comes to the toileting practices of a fort. So these are a few must-haves that we need in our fort. Thankfully, what we are building here at City Coast is going to look a whole lot different to the fort. I mean, yes, we still have dedicated toileting areas, and I'd appreciate and encourage you to utilize those. But at the end of the day, the practical facilities, the four walls, what we have here, while they're important, there are four things that we want to establish and build that aren't your practical brick and mortar things. We want to implement something here at City Coast that's going to help it be established as a formidable force in the army of God. You see, first and foremost, you've got to start the foundation, and Christ is our foundation. That's laid down. That's a given. Where we're always going to start. I'm going to go into that a little bit further on. But there are four pillars that Pastor Joey and I want to quickly talk about this morning. Four pillars that are going to see City Coast continually impact Bundaberg and the region in a way that sees lives turned around and lost souls saved. And it's something to get real excited about. Where we've drawn our inspiration for these four pillars is the book of Acts, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 42 to 47. And they, the followers of Jesus, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So from these few verses, there are four incredible pillars that we want to draw out from that. And those four pillars are these, and the title of my message this morning: the temple, the table, the teaching, and the town. There are four pillars: the temple, the table, the teaching, the town. You see, when we look at a model for what the Church of Christ should look like, Peter and the disciples had a pretty good thing going on. It says that people were added to the church daily. After one sermon, 3,000 people were added to the church. Could you imagine the panic that set in for the people responsible for counting hands? Do I count Max? He puts his hand up every service, you know. It's just, there would have been a bit of a panic, but people were coming because of this model that they had, the four pillars that they had in place. So it's no wonder that it's from this example that we have derived these four pillars from. the temple, the table, the teaching, and the town. Because ultimately, our heart is this: to gather, to connect, to equip, and to reach. There are four things that we want to see that we believe are going to come from these four pillars. Let's start with the temple. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. This house is a house of praise. It's a house of prayer, but it's also a place of preparation. The temple represents the gathering of the saints. You see, it represents you and I coming together with a united heart and a united cause, which is to praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's to set our heart in faith on seeing the supernatural come to pass here in this place, to see miracles together. You see, finding your faith is something you can do alone with God. But walking out your faith is something you need to do with others. It would be foolish to set out on this trek on your own. So walk out your faith with others. The Sunday gathering is of great importance, and it's something that we want you to be a part of to help us build. So come to church. Is that all right? Look, I know some of you are going, okay, fine, I'll give up my Sunday morning off. I understand there's importance to gather, but come on, is the rock show really necessary? Do we need the drums, the jumping? Do we need the coloured lights? Look, I don't know about you, but City Coast, here we're going to make a joyful noise. We feel that we have a reason to get excited because the King is going to be in attendance. And if the King is going to be in attendance, yes, we're going to make every Sunday an occasion. We're going to make it an event. And what about the coloured lights? Look, I've recently had a revelation on this. We are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of a creator. We are created after a creator who every dawn and every dusk decides to paint the sky with the most incredible colors and light show you've ever seen. And then when our incredible men and women on our tech team try to replicate that as an act of worship, we get our nose out of joint and feel it's inappropriate. They are worshiping in a way that they've seen the Father worship, celebrate life every morning and every evening. I'll tell you right now, Charlene is probably relieved that John uses a light mixing desk rather than singing to worship. That is where his gift lies, and what an incredible gift he has. We don't need John up the front doing ribbon dancing to show he's worshiping, because he does such an incredible job with what he has here. So the coloured lights, I feel, have a little bit of a place, huh? You thought I was going to dance. That is not my worship, that's for sure. So we're always going to make our Sunday gatherings an event because the King is going to be in attendance. Is that cool? The table. This is one of my favorite ones. It's about connection. You see, the disciples followed Jesus for 3 years, and I'm sure they heard sermon after sermon after sermon, but I'd almost bet my house on it. They got more out of those moments gathered around a dinner table with Jesus than they did from any sermon on a mount. I guarantee you, in those moments where Jesus wraps a towel around his waist and washes their feet, it was greater impact than the things he yelled from the shoreline to the people that were gathered on the beach. I guarantee you they got more out of those intimate moments of connection than any sermon ever could have brought for them. You see, in 2023, we went from zero connect groups here at City Coast to 9 connect groups. And what isn't counted in that is when you get the boys around the barbecue on a Saturday evening, or you might take the girls out for a coffee and a manicure. Or it might be the other way around. You might have got the girls around the barbie and the boys might be tending to their cuticles. Whatever it was, when you get people together, take it as an opportunity to sharpen each other. Iron against iron, uplift, encourage, and exhort one another. That's what connection is all about. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 12. I don't even know why I looked at that. I know I've got no time. Two are better than one. This is in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone and falls, for there is no one to help him up. It's like it's a tortoise. I'm sure we can get back up on our own. But you get the point of it. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. But a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There is power in being in partnership. Finding those people in your world that can keep you accountable and keep you on track when you're getting a little wavery or a little weak in the knees. There's someone there to encourage you and lift you up. It breaks my heart to think that someone could come through these doors on a Sunday morning, turn around at the end of the service and walk out as lonely as they were when they walked in. It breaks my heart. Someone's come to a house of beautiful people that I know have an incredible communion. But to think anyone could walk out again without being seen breaks my heart. So have the eyes for the one. Look to people through the eyes of Jesus, who saw it fit to die for each and every one of us. He wasn't gauging us by whether our shoes were, our toes were poking out the end of our shoes. He wasn't judging us by what we were wearing. He didn't care if we had overdone the perfume and smelt like we'd swam in it. He doesn't even mind if you're sending 112 memes via Instagram every day. It doesn't matter how awkwardly you are socially. Jesus still saw it fit to die for you. So I think it's still fit for us to reach out and to connect with those individuals as well, hey? So let's connect. The teaching, Joey passed on this as well. We want to make sure that we are providing teaching and preaching and resources to equip you and prepare you for what comes next. Because I tell you now, pillar number four is a doozy, and it's going to take all of this combined to see us navigate through that successfully. So we want to be here to ensure that we're giving you an opportunity to be equipped. As the worship team come join behind me, that would be awesome. We want to make solid and godly teaching our priority, whether it be from a pulpit, from the pages of a book, or the pages of the book. We want to make sure that we're giving you an opportunity to be fed and grow from this knowledge. It says in Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So it's important that we're feeding in here and in here. So we're going to make sure that the teaching is available to you. We have the guidebook to life in our hands, and it's important we find ourselves discussing and having conversations about the gold that can be found within these pages, yeah? This can happen at the temple. It can happen at the table. These are great places for these conversations to happen. And in addition to this, I know that our departments, the department heads we met earlier, they're planning all sorts of things throughout the year. We're talking teaching panels on how to navigate parenting or high school or any of the things you're going to try to navigate as a family. We're going to have pop-up courses where you can feed into your personal life or into your relationships. We're going to create these opportunities where you can learn. We're even in discussion with the INC School of Ministries to see what it looks like to have a hub of accredited theological learning here at Bundaberg. How can somebody go through Bible college without having to head to the big smoke or to abandon their local churches? We're looking at what it takes to put something on here where people from any church in the city or in the outer regions can come and get a accredited theological certification. And that is an incredible opportunity, not just for the house here, but for Bundaberg and the wider region, that people can come and get that accredited learning. How exciting is that? We've got a small pilot group kicking off very soon of a few handpicked people to see that we can navigate it well. I think we can, because it's a good-looking crew that I think can pull off the incredible. So the first three, like I said, are so pivotal when we're strengthening and preparing ourselves for pillar four, because pillar four is the town. this is one of the big whys what we do what we do. Because there are people in our city, in our streets, in the homes, the workplaces, the schools, and the university that need what we have. We have discovered this incredible hope, and for us to sit here in our Sunday mornings and keep it to ourselves is ridiculous. Jesus says, if you've got a light, don't hide it under a basket. You want to put it on a lampstand so it lights the entire house. And that's what we've got. We're not hiding our light under a basket because there's too many people that would benefit from it. So we want to go out here. We want to find ourselves in the town. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him and He will separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. And then the King will say to those at His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see you in all of the pre-mentioned situations? And the King will answer them and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Don't underestimate the things that we do when we put our hand towards helping others. Because Jesus in this very moment is going to say, hey, that time you fed that hungry person, you fed me. That time you put a blanket over someone shivering and cold, you did to me. That time you took the time to say something kind to someone that needed it, you did that for me. So the acts of kindness, those random opportunities that we take in our day to day, are our chance to impact the town, and Jesus says to impact Him. You see, not all of us are a loud hailer on the street corner type of evangelist. Some of us might navigate it in a different way than others. Some of us have more confidence for that kind of thing, but some of us have a fantastic listening ear. Some of us have the incredible ability to empathize with people's situations, and those people are just as impactful as the incredible and charismatic street corner preachers. We've all got an opportunity to do something kind and demonstrate the love of God to others. Hey. So let us look to establish these pillars this year. The temple, the table, the teaching, and the town. And I believe that's going to keep City Coast standing high and moving forward to impact Bundaberg and its surrounding regions. We're going to see lives transformed, and we're going to see those lost souls saved. We're going to not only see the transformation of lives, but we're going to see the transformation of society on a whole. Because when revival moves, it's not just a spiritual, supernatural experience. It's something we see in the tangible and in the practical. When lives get transformed by the Spirit of God, the world out there transforms with them. Their workplaces, their homes, their interaction with others, it becomes a contagious wildfire that can't be quenched. So that is what we want to see through the city of Bundaberg. So they're the pillars. The temple, the table, the teaching, and the town. And if this is something that you want to be a part of, if that's something that you want to be on board with, let's go back to that foundation I spoke to at the start. The Bible says that we have all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But in a moment of surrender, when we say, yes, I'm guilty of that, Lord God, forgive me of my sins. Lord God, I acknowledge that you are Lord, please come into my life. When we do that, the Bible says that we can be saved. And that salvation isn't just something we tack onto our pre-existing life. It's an exchange. He says all of those burdens and hardships and scarring and pain and things that you've been challenged and navigating through, I'm going to exchange that for the life that I want to give you. I want to take those robes of sin off your shoulders and place a robe of righteousness in its place. So this morning, just while the worship team's playing behind me, can I just ask everybody in this place to close your eyes and bow your head? And in a moment between you and God, and I'll be honest, my eyes are also open. If you want to ask Jesus to come into your life this morning, if you say, hey, this life is something I want to be a part of, this journey ahead that Pastor Adam and Pastor Joey have been talking about, I want to be a part of that too. Let's lay a salvation foundation this morning. Let's start with welcoming Jesus into your life. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to just throw your hand up in the air, and I'm going to pray for you from here where you're at. And we're just going to ask Jesus to come into your life. If that's you this morning, I can see that hand right there. If you've got that stirring in your heart, you're sitting there thinking, I think he's talking to me. Just throw your hand up this morning. We're just going to say a prayer together. We're not going to drag you out the front. We see this hand in the front here as well. Fantastic. It says heaven cracks into a party every time somebody makes this decision, and we've had two this morning, so the angels are raucous right now. They're breaking furniture for sure, I guarantee you, but God doesn't mind. Is there anyone else before I pray this morning that would like to ask Jesus to come into their heart? I see that hand up the back there as well. All right. Now they're breaking the crockery. We're in all sorts of trouble. Heaven's in absolute chaos. That's fantastic. All right. Let's pray. Church, if you'd repeat after me, those guys that threw your hand up, say this prayer with me this morning. Lord God, I know that I've sinned and fallen short, but I pray that you would forgive me and set me on a new path. I believe that you are the Lord. Please be the Savior of my life. Come into my heart. I am a believer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Guys, hey, those of you who popped your hand up right now, tap a friend on the shoulder, someone sitting around you, say, hey, I made that decision. I'd love for you to take me to the hub, and we're going to get a little bit more information. We're going to put a Bible in your hand, a few other treats. I think Denise has got all sorts of prizes. Are you giving an iPhone or what? No, she's not giving an iPhone away. But head back there. She's got some special treats for you. She wants to get you set up and connected in the house, give you some information about the decision you've made. Take a friend up with you, because it can be scary walking up to a desk on your own. So take your friends with you. Pastor John, Pastor Charmaine will be lurking somewhere around there to say hello and connect with you as well. They're excited about this decision you've made. Speaking of excited, oh, Pastor Joey's up here as well. Hey, church, can we pray with you before we head out for gelato? She's sneaky like that, like a little ninja. All right. Why don't we stand up onto our feet this morning?
Come on, let's just lift up our hands. We just want to receive and seal the vision that we've brought this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for City Coast Church, God, the appointment of this church 45 years ago. Today, we stand on the shoulders of giants before us. We look forward, Jesus, to the future that you have for us, God. And we thank you, Lord, for vision, for clarity, for the ministries to explode this year, Lord, for us to see an abundance of salvations and miracles and testimonies from this house, God. As we come around this table, as we reach our town, Jesus, we put you at the center of it all. And I thank you for these people, Lord God, as they come and they go, Lord, that you have anointed them and called them into their purpose and their future. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. Come on, let's just thank him this morning. Awesome. Well, we're going to go out praising God. We'd love you all now to head to the left. Would you come outside while we cut the ribbon and show you the fancy cafe? And we're going to launch it, hang around, let's connect around the table. Amen. Awesome. Let's do it. Thanks, Josh.
Won't you clap your hands? We're gonna sing one last time as a church family together. Surely the Lord is, surely the Lord is in this place. Shout if you wanna, hey, shout if you wanna give him thanks. Surely the Lord is, surely the Lord is in this place. Every blah blah say, come and praise his name. Surely